Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode. Welcome to this episode of the THT podcast. We've got another fantastic guest for you, Mish Denny. Now, Mish spent 12 years in private chiropractic practice until her soul called her in a deeper direction. She retrained as a spiral practitioner, an energetic journey through the body's energy centers to clear subconscious conditioning, pain, and trauma. She now feels herself more as a medicine woman, weaving her years of experience as a practitioner and the discoveries from her own journey into self to help others come home to their own remembering. She works mostly online in one-to-one sessions and group programs, and when able to do so, in-person retreats, using a blend of her intuitive touch, emotional alchemy, and vocal meditations. Welcome to the THT podcast, Mish. How are you doing?
Thank you. Really good. Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so I suppose my journey really, it's hard, isn't it, when we talk about our journeys, because there's always like a hindsight element. But really, I decided I wanted to be a chiropractor really, really young. I was 15 and I was really blown away by the power of how, you know, someone putting their hands on you without drugs or invasive treatments could bring people back to health and wellness and feeling good. So that was my first experience of, you know, the body's magic, the body's own power to do what it needs to do. I guess looking back now, I realized that I was probably trying to heal myself, which is, I think, what we are maybe all doing on some level as practitioners and healers. And so I spent a lot of years in practice as a chiropractor. I realized quite early on that I wasn't kind of fitting the general mold of what that was in terms of like time frames and the way I wanted to work. And I was very into kind of the emotional elements of what it is to be human. I'm a very emotional feeling woman. And so I just went on a journey into like different modalities like kinesiology and nutrition. And I eventually became a network practitioner, a network chiropractor, which is much more gentle. It's more energy based. It's working more with like the more subtle rhythms of the body. And I really loved that. But there was just still something about private practice for me that felt a bit confined and a bit like I just wanted to be able to get to know people. I wanted to know more about their journey and their lives. And I wanted to be able to go a bit deeper. And I guess within that, I was in my own journey, realizing that I was battling a lot of emotional stuff. I was in a lot of burnout, regular burnout, and my practice was kind of like flurries of doing really well and then flurries of having to cancel clinics, take time out, and I wasn't really getting that consistency. And so, yeah, long story, I just kind of realized that I needed to change something for myself, that my external world was just a reflection of what I wasn't fully stepping into for me, which was actually what my soul was calling me to do, which was to, yeah, just change things and deepen into my own experience and my own pain, my own past stuff that was kind of holding me back. And so, yeah, I handed over my practice, I sold my home, and I left the country, and I just traveled for a year. That was 2 years ago. And oh no, it wasn't. It was about eight. I can't remember. Last year, I was traveling for most of last year. And I just kind of untethered from the identities and from the stuff that was not actually allowing me to be myself. And that's really where I am today, at the kind of the opening from that time and that change that I created.
Cool. Yeah. I remember seeing your Facebook posts. You went to Bali and various other places, didn't you?
That
appeared to be an amazing experience. Was it really cool?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I think just getting out of, holding so much. I mean, holding a business, holding a practice, it's such an honor and it's beautiful, but it was extremely exhausting. So yeah, just getting to be in warm countries and rest. And I was meeting a lot of new people. And I did quite a few kind of courses and trainings and immersions and retreats. And I just allowed myself to really dive in. But yeah, it was incredible. And I just kind of followed those things. I wasn't really planning to go to Bali. I was originally just going to get a van and go into Europe and just kind of do that kind of travel. But I ended up, quite far flung corners of the world, just following the spiral. I trained in the spiral in Australia and just kind of following these things that I wanted to explore, to expand what I could offer in my work, really.
Cool. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about the spiral practitioner, because I've not really heard much about that.
Yeah, there's not many of us. I think there's maybe just over 200 practitioners now. I might have got that wrong. The spiral is a creation from a guy called Dane Thomas. He's an Australian guy. He's actually English originally. And it's based on kinesiology, so muscle testing into the body's energetic field, I suppose, the emotional body, the subtle stuff that we can't see consciously or feel consciously, to basically identify where there's stuck or stored emotion that's basically preventing us from thriving. And it uses the chakra system and something called spiral dynamics, which are really just ways of us mapping the way we work energetically as humans. So those levels of consciousness, from like survival to bliss, basically. So it just uses those maps and those frameworks to clear through the body, clear through those levels of consciousness, to release what might be stuck or stored from normally the past, either what we've been through, conditioning, experiences, things that we have held on to without realizing that we've held on to them. And it just creates new points of awareness and new points of knowing, and it clears through anything that's blocking us from really kind of having the lives we want to have. It's immensely powerful. And I didn't actually go to do the training to become a practitioner. Interestingly, I went because I had a lot of friends that I'd met through this incredible online kind of women's space that I had been journeying in, which was a huge part of me opening. And I was just really curious, and I really wanted to meet Dane. I really wanted to be part of the community. And it took me a while after that to, as a hands-on practitioner, I was actually quite skeptical about remote and online work. And what is this? I'd been working with energy for quite a long time, but not in that way. And so, I wasn't necessarily planning on becoming a practitioner, but after going through the process myself, I just felt a huge change in my own emotional responses to things that had been holding me back for a really, really long time. So yeah, that's now what I do. Part of what I do.
Cool. Sounds really good, that. So yeah. You mentioned earlier on that when you took time out and you've done a lot of traveling and learned a lot of new stuff, because you found you were working on yourself. What over the years have you found in terms of failures, for want of a better word, and big lessons that you've learned about the improvements that you've made in your health?
I guess for me, health has always been, and I didn't realize this at the time when I started on my journey of like healing myself, or whatever you want to call it, that for me, it's been very much about emotional health, to be honest. So I began my own journey with lots of physical symptoms like recurrent chronic headaches, loads of digestive issues. And I tried loads of different things. I can't even name really. I can't even give you on one hand how many things I've tried over the years. But I guess, if I look at what's really consistently worked for me, it's actually just learning to really trust and love myself, as cliche as that sounds. I think the mistake we can make is to think that we have to fit like a recipe or a formula. And actually, it's really about finding our own way, finding our own rhythm, finding our own cycles. We need guidance. And yes, there are things that really work. But I guess, if someone had told me when I was 24, do you know what I mean? Do you really find what you need for you? And, take the guidance, do the things, do the retreats, do the nutrition. It's all valid. It's all important. But actually, it's really about loving what's here. So my failures have been when I've tried to fit someone else's formula and then I've attached to that as being the thing I need to be well. And actually, as opposed to just, using that as guidance and always bringing it back to self ultimately. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does, absolutely. Like many, many years ago, the Beatles did a song, didn't they? All You Need Is Love. Many people out there, two things, don't know about loving themselves and they think it's weird to love yourself. You know, there's a common misconception, isn't there, that loving yourself could be arrogant and it couldn't be further from the truth, could it?
Totally, exactly. Yeah. And I think part of that, there's so many things. It's partly what we've been through, what we've experienced, but also this kind of conditioned element of, like having to be a certain way to be loved, to be validated. So all the kind of the shoulds and then, don't get too big for your boots. There's a lot of that in this culture, and actually it's really just dulling our essence and stopping us from fully feeling ourselves. Actually, we're always looking for those like, oh, is that how I should be? Is that how I should be? And actually, it blocks us from feeling. It couldn't be further from the truth in terms of arrogance and self-love.
For sure. So you talk quite a bit about emotions already. Let's dive into that a little bit deeper. What's the link between your emotions and your health from your experience?
Yeah, so I guess I'm realizing that this is how the brain works as well. Our emotions are really what drive our behavior. And a lot of what we've stored emotionally comes from what we've experienced. So we start to build our beliefs unconsciously around these things that have happened to us, what we've been told, trauma we've been through. And when I say trauma, that can be a broad range of stuff from emotional to physical. The way society conditions us to believe certain things are true and certain things are not true. And we start to build this framework in our subconscious mind, the part that we're not so easily able to access with full awareness. And that's what drives our behavior. So I guess come back to self-love, if we've got this belief that we are not enough or we're not good at this thing, we're not capable, we're inadequate, which I think is a huge foundational piece that we hold as humans, then that's going to affect that belief, that emotion, that feeling is going to start affecting how we show up in the world, how we talk to ourselves, how we relate to other people. And that for me has been a huge part of my journey. So actually I was carrying so much heaviness around who I thought I should be or who I wasn't or who I couldn't be, that I was looping in the emotion of that unknowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And, my health was suffering. I had horrendous acne, which I think was a huge part of that, just not accepting who I was, not loving who I was. you know, we start to do comfort eating perhaps, or we, you know, we numb ourselves in all the ways that we numb ourselves because we're trying to avoid, or we don't know how to show up in a way that feels complete and alive and connected. So that for me is, yeah, that connection with health and emotion. It just drives our behavior, and then the patterns that we find ourselves in are part of that unconscious, unprocessed emotion driving the show, basically. So yeah, if we can clean up our emotional terrain and get more aware and more conscious about what's there, we can identify and go, oh, okay, I don't actually need you to lead the show today, because this is actually what's true, and this is actually who I am, and this is actually what I'm doing. And it just takes that connection and some time and some courage to do that. But that's, for me, the key to feeling complete, if there is such a thing, and well on all levels.
Cool. I loved what you said about connection there. And it certainly appears to me when I look out at the world that despite being more connected with each other technologically these days, it appears that humanity could not be more disconnected. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, good question. I think a few things, and I don't know of anything that I think is based on any kind of evidence, but it's what I feel. I think we're in this stage of kind of waking up as a humanity. And I think before things shift, there's almost always a point where it feels like everything's breaking down. I think I've actually found social media and the way that I choose to show up on social media and have connected with it has been incredibly expansive. And I've actually been confronted with like a plethora of humans who just astound me every day. Like, it's actually enhanced my ability to see how much good there is in the world. But yeah, I think on another level, in terms of the powers that be, there feels like there's just this unprecedented amount of disconnect and craziness in terms of the decisions that are being made and the connection to the heart that's just not there. But I think as a humanity, the breaking down and the realizing that these systems are flawed, which I feel a lot of people are starting to wake up to now, is part of that. And it might not happen in our lifetime, Danny, but I think there's something shifting, and energetically it's like we're starting to move into a space where we're like, oh, do you know what? I want to care about the animals and I want to care about the planet. And oh, maybe I need to look at my stuff now because this isn't working for me. And that's what I see. It's subtle and there's lots of other stuff that's bad, but yeah, I guess I choose, and I feel it more empowering to focus on the stuff that is happening, even if it's behind the scenes, under the surface. And it's these conversations that keep sparking it and open it up for people that might not necessarily instantly feel it. So yeah, I think there's a bit of both going on. A breakdown to break through, hopefully.
Yeah, that reminds me of something I heard DeMartini say years ago. There's before order, there's chaos. So we are in chaos now in a lot of respects. So hopefully things will move into a better order than what they're in now.
Yeah.
So I remember years ago, because we trained in chiropractic school together, didn't we? It's a long, long time ago now. I always remember then you were into meditation. You always seemed very spiritual. Do you still do a lot of meditations now? And if so, what's your meditation of choice?
Yeah, so it's funny because I think I outwardly present it as this very serene human, and I am. And I do spend a lot of time with myself in reflection. But yeah, my meditation practice, I think, seems to change. I've done a lot of, sitting in silence and focusing on the breath. Vipassana, and I did a Joe Dispenza retreat last year, which was incredible. Oh, cool. Actually incredible. But I think for me, it again really comes back to like these rhythms and these cycles. I think I'm realizing for me that I need different things at different times. So I actually find, and apparently women are more like this, we're either quite good, generally speaking, like guided meditations or actually kind of movement. So I spend a lot of time out in nature and I try to be really intentional as I'm walking and as I'm immersing and I'm out on the land. And at the moment I'm doing a lot of yoga, which I know is very fashionable and cliche these days, but moving with my breath seems to be, like, for me at the moment, the thing that's really empowering. And also, more kind of embodiment practices. So actually just dropping and really fully feeling, being in my body, feeling where the breath wants to go. And that for me at the moment feels really powerful, where I'm being kind of intentional with how I'm sitting in my body and connecting with my body rather than sitting and breathing. I actually really struggle with really kind of I don't know if I want to say conventional, traditional meditation where you just sit in your breath. I actually really struggle, and I know that's part of it. So I've found that sometimes I'll do that and sometimes yoga for me at the moment is my meditation, to be honest.
Cool. Yeah, because meditation means different things to different people, doesn't it? You know, it could be, because I was thinking about before the interview today, I'd forgotten that you were an amazing musician. It just came back into my mind. I remember watching you sing a few times when we were in uni. So music can be meditation for some, can't it? Running can be meditation. So whatever it is for you, as long as it feels good and you feel better for it, then go for it, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's about that, you know, that point of being in the body as opposed to being in the mind. You know, the mind is always the part that will try and pull us out of the body. So being in like the felt sense of where you are. And yeah, that could be running, it could be walking, it could be lying on your back with music on, you know, anything that kind of just drops you into that place of rest and slowing down, I think, is meditation. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Cool. So in terms of mindset and whether we choose a positive one or a negative one, in your experience in life and as a practitioner, multiple practitioners now in different fields, what have you found to be the health benefits of positivity versus negativity?
Yeah, so I really love the spiral because what it does is it kind of takes out the need for polarity. So I guess I'm more in this space of I totally understand the positive negative thing as an idea, as a concept. But I think actually, if we just got okay with feeling our emotions and not polarizing them as good, bad, actually we'd all just benefit from that. So, you know, some emotions are heavy, some are light, some feel blissful, some feel really uncomfortable where we just don't know what to do with ourselves. But I think for me, what's really served me is realizing that it's all part of who we are, and emotion is safe. And if we can kind of learn to feel the emotion and be with it, it actually has a chance to shift. So of course we don't want to stay stuck in our kind of our victim story of we are the pain and everything's bad and I'm never going to be able to amount to anything, all those negative ways that we can loop in our thoughts that aren't going to serve us. There are better thoughts. We can always choose to reframe. We can always choose like a more empowering way to think and to use our language. But sometimes I think if we're trying to go to the positive part without feeling the emotion, we're actually bypassing the feeling. And then I think we just anchor in another feeling and then we're kind of looping in something else and it all gets stuck. So for me, what's really served me is not getting too stuck in the emotion where I'm like drowning in it forever and everything's just terrible, but also to feel it, to really feel it and be like, okay, I just don't feel so good today. Okay, what can I do? Maybe I just need to sit in this. Maybe I need to have a cry. Maybe I need to go out and move my body, whatever it is. But I think actually getting out of the duality, good, bad, positive, negative, right, wrong, and just being in kind of the allness of all of it, I think is actually could be our point of feeling more empowered.
I loved what you said there about acknowledging the emotion that you're in. Yeah. I think, did you say sitting in it? I think you said, I love that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So I know over the years you will have read loads and loads of different books in different fields and stuff. In terms of health, if you were to recommend one book to the viewers and the listeners, what would that be?
I really struggled with this one. I'm actually a terrible reader. I think I get more of my knowledge from like conversation and people that I have been mentored by or guided by. But there's one book that really was a turning point for me, and I can't remember how old I was when I was reading it, maybe in my mid-20s. And it's called Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser. And it basically just talks about what I've just been talking about. I'm all about the emotion, Danny. It's about, you know, how the hard times break us open into more of ourselves, how, you know, the grief and the pain and the things that we feel like are going to kill us or are going to drown us are actually our point of power, our point of expansion, our point of growing into something new. And there's always a potential in there. Like we were talking about things breaking down to break through, you know, chaos before the order. It's the same thing. And it just opened my mind so much and really gave me this point of like, oh my God, this is happening for me. Okay. So all this stuff that I feel, all this pain that I feel I can't transcend, it gave me like this reference point. And it was the first time I'd ever kind of thought about it in that way. So yeah, that's what I would recommend. And I think I've ordered it for many different people in my life and sent it to them. And yeah, really was a turning point for me, that book.
Cool. I've not read that one, so I'll look that one up. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
In terms of the clients with your spiral, who's your ideal client for that and how specifically can you help them?
Yeah. So I ultimately right now, I mean, I've got male clients as well, but I guess women who are feeling this identity with that kind of people pleasing, good girl narrative, which was my journey. You know, I think we all help as practitioners, our strength is helping others with what we've journeyed ourselves. And that's been my journey and continues to be. So, where we feel like we're living from shoulds instead of wants, where we're kind of blocked in our ability to feel our own desire or our own needs even. And so I kind of help to guide women back into their own sense of self so they can really feel what they need, where they want to go, who they want to go there with, and just to kind of unshackle and untether from the stories, really, which is what holds us back. It's the stories of who we think we are or who we should be and all the masks we start to wear to often just feel safe, you know. That good girl mask is often what we've worn to feel like we're going to be okay and that people are going to love us. But actually, it's immensely suffocating and it doesn't allow us to thrive in any form or any way. So, yeah, women who want to really open into kind of the fullness of who they are, even if they don't really know what that means yet, and start to, feel more connected, more alive and more well. You know, for me, it's been a very physical symptomed journey. So it does manifest as symptoms and health issues as well, for sure. So yeah, I kind of lost the question a little bit in there, but hopefully I answered it.
You definitely did, yeah. Brilliant. So in terms of your next year ahead, what are your plans?
Yeah, so I have just moved to the middle of nowhere in the south of Devon. So I'm in Dartmoor now, in the south. I don't know if this podcast goes to people outside of England, but yeah, right in the southwest of England. So For me, it's really about slowing down now and bedding into my online work. I've just launched a program called Sovereign, which is, like I was talking about, it's for women who want to journey through an 8-week journey with me in various different ways to, yeah, really start to unshackle from that good girl wound narrative, people-pleasing way of living. So I'm really excited about that. Hopefully, got a retreat running next April that had to be postponed from last year called The Art of Falling with a friend of mine, Rebecca Tantoni, who is a poet and a creative writer. And we blend my emotional release work and vocal meditation stuff with creative writing and expression. So hopefully that next year. And yeah, just really expanding into what I bring and more music as well. I've been creating vocal soundscapes, which are also part of, I guess, the medicine I bring. So healing meditations through voice and sound. So I'm just here in my little nature bubble creating and looking after myself. So yeah, that's my year. Sounds nice. Quite mellow when I put it like that.
It sounds very chilled, very, very peaceful. Cool. Yeah. So in terms of the music that you're creating, are you still doing any of your I don't know how I would describe the style of music that I've seen you sing a few times, but do you still do that sort of thing as well?
So no, at the moment because I basically had like a kind of 8-year gap hiatus from music where I was just so blocked creatively. I didn't know what I was doing. So I've got like a loop pedal and a little amp, and basically it's just me and my voice. And I just layer harmonies and I layer vocals into these kind of soundscapes. And I really just started playing with that because I don't play any instruments. So I wanted a way to start singing again without having to rely on other musicians to support me. And what's formed is actually just these very kind of emotive sound baths, I guess. When I was in Bristol, before COVID, I was just running weekly evenings where I would just kind of bathe people in sound, and we'd drop into kind of a meditation through that, and it was really powerful. So that's what I'm into now. But who knows, maybe I'll write some soul songs as well along the way.
Yeah, I reckon that was the genre that I've seen you sing. It would have been soul, wouldn't it? Yeah,
soul. Cool.
Couldn't remember the exact genre, but that is it for sure. The love those sound baths. I've been to two, maybe three of those. They are powerful, aren't they?
Really powerful.
Good stuff. Yeah. So, if someone wants to reach out online to connect with you and speak a bit more about Spiral, where's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah. So my website is mishdenny.com. And all my information's on there. Or find me on Facebook. I love connecting with people on Facebook. And I'm Mish Denny there as well. Facebook is, I know there's a love-hate with Facebook, but it's very much where I share and I bring myself and I show up in what's moving for me and connect in through like my journey. So that's probably the best place to feel me if you want to just connect and see what I'm about. Yeah. So mishdenny.com or Mish Denny. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks for spending some time with us today on the THT podcast, Mish. It's been great to reconnect with you.
Yeah, it's been so lovely. Thanks, Danny. Amazing.
You've been listening to the THT podcast with myself, Dr. Danny Scarhill. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or any one of the other outlets where we stream. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/totalhealthtransformation. You can also find more information about myself on my website, dannyscarhill.com. We'll find lots of fantastic information and some free products for you as well. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.